to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and in a special edition of the podcast, we sit down with Darren Dorsey, the executive director of the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers, on his first 6 months on the job. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT, introducing the Diamond RS gaming machine, mixing iconic slots and evolved game variations designed to exceed expectations. Discover your next legend at igt.com/diamondrs. The Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers has had only three executive directors in more than 15 years. The bulk of that time was spent by Marcus Prater, but when he retired last year, the choice was evident. Darren Dorsey had been a member of the AGM Board of Directors for several years as General Counsel for Ainsworth, so he's familiar with the organization and its processes. As gaming grows, Dorsey believes AGM has a chance to grow just as quickly as the need for a group to represent the gaming suppliers and their issues becomes more crucial. He talks about AGM's new offices at the UNLV Blackfire Center in Las Vegas and why he believes that puts the organization in the center of it all. He spoke with me at the Games Worth Game Technology offices in June. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Darren Dorsey, the new Executive Director of the Association for Gaming Equipment Manufacturers. Darren, thanks for joining us. First time we've done this as the head of AGM. It's great to get together with you.
Thanks, Roger. Great to be here.
And congratulations for getting the job. It's a tough job. I've followed Marcus over the years and really didn't envy his position, but now you're in it. So,
thanks for that. And just to, like you said, you know, Marcus did a great job for everybody for more than a decade.
Right.
And so it's my job is to pick up where everything, all the success that he built,
sure,
and continue it forward on behalf of the entire supplier sector.
Great. So you've been here for been in office for a couple of months now. Has it been drinking from a fire hose yet, or what?
Not quite.
Yeah.
because as you're aware, I was an officer previously of AGM, as in my role at Ainsworth Game Technology, but it has been interesting closing a financial year,
right? Yes.
Starting a new one, mm-hmm. You know, then learning a lot of the membership base, because it's not just the big suppliers, it's then the suppliers to the suppliers and the different levels of our members, getting membership invoices out to a couple hundred people, learning, you know, who all the different contact points around the world are. So it's been busy, mm-hmm. but it's been fun, and it's I'm excited for where we get to go from here.
Sure. And just learning the nuts and bolts of running the meetings and how to contact each of the members. I mean, that's a little pressure right there as
it
well,
is.
I guess. Huh?
Being a one-man band plays a lot of instruments, so it's fun.
Right. So you were a member of the board when AGM went through the pandemic, and that was a very difficult period, obviously, for everybody. But for an organization like AGM, you know, you had to take into account how your members were being impacted. So you didn't collect dues for almost a year, I guess, correct?
It was over a year,
yeah,
yes,
okay.
Correct.
So you know, how has it been since you started charging? Have you lost any of your members? Or?
Just a handful,
yeah.
and we recognize that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of companies, if you could go back to the spring of 2020, mm-hmm. of knowing nobody really knew where we are in 2022, what that would be like. So mm-hmm. some companies recognized that, hey, they're trying to save every penny they can.
Sure.
So thousands of dollars here, thousands of theirs are a
yeah.
big deal. But overall, an overwhelming majority, especially our members that are voting board of directors, member companies, which are manufacturers, mm-hmm. have the big restricted or non-restricted licenses across the world. They're all been back. They've been, we paid dues for the 21 year, and we're going into the 22 year. So we're still 160, 170 plus strong at this point in time.
And you keep adding new members. You know, every month I see on the meeting recap, you're welcoming new members.
Trying to find new opportunities and people that want to be affiliated with AGM, both on the whether that's professional associations, or mm-hmm. we're also trying to talk to people if the interactive gaming, as that's a new thing within the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and sports betting and those types of opportunities, and anybody who wishes to join, we're welcome to have them in the boat with us.
Okay, great. So, you know, the members of AGM are very fiercely competitive, as you know, having worked for one of them in the past, mm-hmm. or a couple of them in the past. So, but in AGM, they get together for the betterment of the industry. You know, what does it take to continue that cooperation between all your members?
I think it's it really kind of takes care of itself in a lot of circumstances. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, yes, everybody's competitive on a commercial marketplace because a business opportunity that one company gets, maybe they're fighting with other member companies for that opportunity. But the privileged license regulated business environment is the same for everyone. Right. We hold the same licenses. We confront the same regulatory challenges or issues that confront the industry as a whole. And so I think that's where everybody can use AGM and the AGA in their backyard as well, is to find issues that the industry can always agree about and then find ways that AGM can help solve those problems, whether that's interfacing with a regulatory authority, a legislative authority, or just, quite frankly, this is an industry-wide issue, not one company having a particular problem it wants to solve.
Sure, absolutely. So you always had great relationships with regulators, certainly in Nevada. I know the chairman of the Gaming Control Board usually addresses the AGM at least once a year. You have the, you know, the technology division guy comes in. Do you have that same relationship around the world with other regulators?
We're working there. I do. I was fortunate enough to be a licensee personally through my prior role, so I do have some of those, and that's part of my mission is to, now that the world is opening back up in the next months and years to come, is to reattach or re-engage a lot of those relationships on behalf of AGM and see where we can help our member companies.
Sure. I know you had a great relationship with Dave Rebuck in New Jersey when they tried to get the newest technology on the floor faster than they had in the past. And and I know you work very closely with him. So
AGM there, you know, other places within the U.S. and then also the Canadian provinces and Europe and abroad. So, yes.
So, you know, everybody's always interested in gaming expansion, particularly the equipment manufacturers, especially when it comes to slot machines. How do you keep track of that around the world?
Just like since it's a global interrelated business, I mean, the publications like yours are very good, and then also just, again, regulatory conferences, trade industry conferences, those are interfaces that you're able to have a preview of what's coming down the road, having an idea of any roadblocks or stumbling blocks or speed bumps that people are confronting. So really it's about communication, and technology allows everybody to communicate seamlessly on an instantaneous. If there's an issue in Europe, we can talk about it right here, right now, today, or later today if there's something in Asia or Australia. Just wait a little longer. The international dateline helps us so you can talk and communicate in real time.
Sure. I know you follow the Mexican situation very closely. I mean, there's always reports every month about what's happening in Mexico. What's happening there?
They're confronting a lot of the challenges. A new oversight and regulatory regime that's overseeing gaming there. One item that's new there is one of our member company representatives for the Mexico subcommittee. One of our Eduardo Alvarez from AGS is kind of taking that ball from Carlos Carrion at Aristocrat. And again, he's got a direct relationship with them. And in fact, there's some ongoing efforts to try to get some engagement, almost education opportunities for those new regulators that don't have any experience with gaming. And trying to figure out if that's the best thing through the IGI here at UNLV or other regulatory organizations, whether that's the IMGLs of the world or IAGAs of the world, and try to get those resources to those new possible, because I believe in that jurisdiction more than anything else. A lot of people that don't have exposure or experience with gaming are the ones that then end up overseeing gaming. So there's a lot of learning curve associated with that. So as the member companies, we try to provide that for them.
Sure. Well, you mentioned all the constituencies you have. I'm going to run through all these acronyms, AGA, ECA, IGSA, GGW, IAGA, ICRG, and now I guess we call it IGA, right?
IGA. That's right. That's correct.
So you have relationships with all these. How do you put them all under the same umbrella, that we're all working together once again?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, everybody has a same common theme, which is everybody wants to see expansion and continued progress for regulated gaming opportunities around the world. That's where everybody's have a common thread, and we can figure out ways to work together and solve issues where we're not stepping on each other's toes. While at the same time, I mentioned there's communication back and forth, that there's something that's in Europe that AGM member companies need to be aware of in there. we have those relationships there with the ECA and those sure. types of also on responsible gaming issues. We've right, got a sure. great resource with Connie Jones right. and she represents our organization very well. She's got long-standing decades relationships both in the US, Canada, abroad.
Sure.
And again, that's another resource we use there. And, you know, like we have at AGEM, that doesn't get a lot of front page credibility, but Tracy Cohen, who helps sure. us a lot that's as our right. representative, and she's does a lot of work and been in the industry for decades and represents one of our member companies there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got her ear to the ground and knows what's going on and can create opportunities for us to engage and communicate on those issues.
Sure, sure.
So there's a lot of great people, and I'm excited because I haven't gotten to deal with them a lot in my prior experience
right.
and looking forward to building on those prior relationships that Marcus had and AGEM had in the past.
Sure, sure. Well, let's talk about the responsible gaming issue. You know, Connie is a terrific resource, and, mm-hmm. and she's very balanced. She understands, you know, the kind of crazy right left wing, you know, the people who think any kind of gambling is bad, and then you know, balancing it with the other side, and she really knows people in all of those sides. She's such a resource. But the fact that AGEM has really put your reputation and your funds behind her to battle this thing that's really an important issue in the industry. Is that the way you see it?
It is.
Yeah.
And like you said, she's got decades of experience and she's a credible resource when
sure,
it comes
right.
to that, because she understands the commercial issues because these are companies that provides tens of thousands of jobs and
right.
provides lots of direct and indirect
sure.
economic revenue, while at the same time nobody wants to. We operate in a privileged license, mm-hmm. regulated
right.
environment, and we need to be doing so in a responsible way. So
right.
she at least has experience in that balanced approach. And also, I think a lot of the relationships that AGEM has, whether that's through ICRG, you know, Keith White's organization, our ones here in Nevada
mm-hmm.
with Carol O'Hare's
right.
that they've built up.
Yep, Carol's great.
They understand that balance as well,
mm-hmm.
because gaming in and of itself is not a bad thing.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It just needs to be done so in a responsible manner.
Right.
And if there are issues or there needs to be certain research, certain resources allocated to,
mm-hmm.
to helping solve or confront some of those issues, they want to seek the industry's involvement and engagement in helping solve those problems.
Sure.
Because identifying a problem just identifies the problem.
Right.
A lot of those organizations, and Connie's great in working with them, they try to help solve the problems, and she's been a great resource for us on that.
Well, and just last week, we had the AGEM Golf Tournament, which benefits the International Center for Responsible Gaming, and you know, you've raised millions of dollars for that organization.
Yeah, it's a great organization, mm-hmm. and its new CEO, executive director, Art Pikowski,
right.
is a
great guy.
He's a fundraising whirlwind machine,
right.
but
yeah.
it's great,
yeah.
And he's energetic because it's something. You know, you have conversations with folks at the ICRG, and it's great for them to hear that the mission is, let's really separate the wheat from the chaff and identify the issue is not, just because something might have some bad effects or some negative effects
right.
on a small basis, let's
mm-hmm.
identify that those are really small and minute, and then direct the resources into solving and researching those issues.
Sure, sure.
Not just create a big giant one size fits all approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's putting together a lot of great efforts, and whether it's fundraising, engaging, and bringing new people into ICRG that haven't been there in the past from the operator side and from the manufacturer side and from the academic side.
Right.
So it's a really great organization to be involved with.
Right, right, no question.
IGT's Diamond RS mechanical gaming machine is a cut above the rest, elevating classic play with research-driven design. Honoring iconic slot history with a bigger and bolder design, the Diamond RS cabinet delivers appealing retro styling, modern features, large top box, and an extended content support package featuring top-performing classic games with bundling capabilities. Steeped in market-focused research and fueled by passion and collaboration, the Diamond RS is real gaming for real players. Discover your next legend at IGT.com/DiamondRS. And now back to our podcast.
At this point here, we're you're ready to move into the new UNLV Blackfire Center to have an AGEM office in there. What does that mean to AGEM to be able to be in an environment like that, which includes many of the gaming companies in that same building?
It means we're growing up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're trying to be. You know, AGEM started decade and a half ago with a handful of companies and just trying to have a voice for the supplier industry to not get drowned out to be operator specific on gaming issues. And like I said, my predecessor, they built this thing up to it's something that is meaningful and can do a lot of good.
Right.
But in doing so, having a new office in a physical business location is a good thing about our organization growing up and further maturing. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, it's to be involved in a project that has both UNLV and some of the gaming, you know, Caesars, I know, is an original investor in that and a co-partner in getting that development off the ground. It's a great synergy for what AGEM wants to be a part with. We still support educational initiatives, both at UNLV and other places, and our commercial gaming partners on the outside.
Sure.
And being able to have an office location in something that really, spotlights gaming and where gaming is now and where gaming can go. That's the perfect place for AGEM to be and to build its future in the next few years.
Just the title of the Innovation Center, you want to be in the place where innovation is created, I imagine.
Absolutely. But also sending that symbol, telling people that we really care about UNLV and its place in the Las Vegas community, and we want to be part of its continued growth and maturation as well.
Right, okay. So a little touchy issue here is that sometimes there's not agreement between the suppliers and the operators. For example, in these states where they want to introduce the slot routes, things of that nature, which kind of compete with the casinos. How would you handle something like that? I mean, we're talking about Missouri is considering that now. Virginia banned it, but there's talk that it may come back. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think as AGEM, we try to take a collaborative, cohesive approach. Mm-hmm. And if there's consensus on a particular issue, that's where AGEM wants to get involved. But if there are situations where our member companies themselves, there's not agreement, that's an area where AGEM simply just says, hey, we're going to be agnostic. We're going to be Switzerland, because that's a competitive issue between our members. And we try not to get in the middle of that. So it's either we want to advocate on behalf of everyone, or we want to let the marketplace decide what the ultimate outcome is.
Sure.
Because AGEM needs to be there for consensus-driven issues not necessarily be in the middle of problems between its members. And we try to do that. And I think that whether that's our officers and our board of directors members through these last couple of decades, we've done a very good job of maintaining that, whether you say neutrality or cohesive advocacy on behalf of one particular issue that helps everyone.
Right.
But it's talking to each other and figuring out, okay, what are the problems? What are the issues? Do we agree on them? Yes. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do about it? If not, hey, let's let the market dictate and figure out how this works out. And everyone will take the positions that they need to take, and they'll take care of it themselves. Because they're pretty smart, sophisticated, big publicly traded companies run by a lot of very smart people.
Sure, sure. Well, AGEM and the AGA have had a good relationship down through the years, and the relationship extends to G2E, which it will be up in October, and it's an exciting time for the industry if they have the show and back in full force. What plans do you have for G2E this year?
Just like you said, I think that's the expectation, that it's going to be a little bit closer to what normal is. And we're excited for that, because we really have a vested relationship with the AGA and Reed on that show.
Sure.
And again, it's another showcase to show the world, gaming world, as it has come to pass, another step towards getting back to 2019, 2018, or pre-pandemic levels. Because as last year was successful, it wasn't quite full, because you still have international travel that's still a little bit impacted. Hopefully we're a little closer to where those doors are opened up further for a lot of the participants to be there.
Right.
And a show floor with a lot of those exhibitors that are coming here, with international customers, international vendors, people that are here in Las Vegas, that's one more step towards normality or getting out of the downside of the pandemic. So we're excited, and we are under the we hear that it's going to be another successful year. It's trending in the right direction to be better than 2021.
Yeah,
and we're excited to see that. From AGEM's perspective, we just want to be there to support the AGA and the show operator and whatever it is, so that this is as successful as possible.
Right.
Because also, obviously, on a personal level, I live in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and events like that are great for the Las Vegas community, because a lot of people from a lot of different places come here and get to experience all the good of Las Vegas.
Right. And there's a lot of new things happening in Las Vegas that have opened since the last G2E, or certainly since before the pandemic.
Absolutely.
And who knows
if there's going to be another professional sports team here or another venue here.
Exactly, right.
It's possible.
So also at G2E, you award the Peter Mead and the Jens Holly Awards. What's the situation with that? When are the nominations opening, and you'll announce it at G2E, I imagine?
That's correct. We'll typically send out that in June, that mm-hmm. sort of period, and have a couple of months for people to nominate for both of the awards.
Right.
So that's going to track the same as prior years. So that's going to be most likely a press release coming from me and a couple of our outlets.
Right.
So that people then communicate those potential nominees, and we'll do the announcement mm-hmm. probably on that Tuesday afternoon, as we always have at the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Because that's always a fun thing, because the people are not just saying that because I got one of those awards, but the people who receive the awards are really, really fascinating people, you know. So
absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of great people that have helped this business, helped this industry for a lot of years, and we try at AGEM to try to recognize a few of those people each year because they've been important.
Yeah, no question.
And again, I think another point is interesting, or, you know, of where we are, hopefully in 2022, again, we get more and more people, and, you know, we've had a winner who hasn't been able to be here in person to receive that award.
Right, yeah.
And so hopefully we get a chance to at least recognize those former winners that might be here in person, because it's important. And again, it's something that says, hey, we're getting back to where we all want to be in 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, no question. That's going to be great. So, you know, AGEM membership is becoming more varied. Certainly you started with the manufacturers, but now you're getting a lot of the new companies that come in on the sports betting side of the industry. You've got a lot of these AI data companies starting up now, legal advisors, that kind of thing. Do you think AGEM will continue to grow, you know, far beyond just the manufacturers?
I think so, because, again, it's every year that goes by, the gaming sector, so to speak, gets more mature, more ingrained, and almost more enmeshed in whatever the locales it is, because mm-hmm. it's almost everywhere.
Right.
And that will continue to be the case. And so that means when it's everywhere, there are more and more ancillary people that want to take part in that, whether that's a supplier to a supplier, or somebody has a new technology that might assist a gaming manufacturer. It's a new law firm that's entering the space, mm-hmm. a new bank, we're getting there. We're like you right. mentioned cashless mm-hmm. and a lot of those types of how money is going to move around in the next 5 years. You know, we just did something interesting as AGEM and did a petition with the Gaming Control Board and got new rules promulgated for cloud computing.
Right.
You know, that's something that's not there. You know, mm-hmm. there's going to be other companies that want to get there.
Right.
And, you know, AGEM wants to be there to try to be a vehicle for those people to not only meet the other people in the industry, but then provide information about what it's like to operate in the regulated gaming and privileged license environment and be a helpful resource.
Sure, okay. A couple of years ago, you did an economic study of the impact of suppliers, gaming suppliers and manufacturers on the industry in general and also on general society. So are you going to do that again? Because I was really impressed with the way that came out.
Yes, we are. And as a matter of fact, I just have had communications with the firm that's doing that as well. And we're putting the research topics again. We haven't done it since pre-pandemic, and so it'll be a very good academic exercise for us, and to find out kind of where we are and getting a barometer from all of our different member companies what those impacts have been the last couple of years mm-hmm. as we stand here today, and then see where they're looking the next couple of years, and that's most likely going to be completed over the next couple of months with mm-hmm. some, you know, member communications and some research. And then hopefully it would be a finalized project, most likely targeting the November time period.
Okay.
So we'd have that close to the end of the year. And mm-hmm. then that's something that we have to share with not only the industry, but possible legislative bodies, possible regulatory bodies, and anybody else interested in 2023 and beyond.
Well, just you know, I can think of this building for one, the Ainsworth Building, which was built probably since the last one. Aristocrats come out with a couple of new buildings, and other suppliers in town have built new facilities. So I'm sure the impact on Las Vegas is even going to be more than last time.
Absolutely. Great. And the supplier industry in gaming is a great thing for any jurisdiction in which it is, whether that's Las Vegas, Nevada, or whether that's somewhere in Pennsylvania or somewhere in Austin, Texas, or the Southeast. They're highly educated people, college educated and beyond jobs, sophisticated folks in technology businesses.
Sure, right.
You know, and people that are interested in that technology, it's innovative, it's creative, it's fun. And if you're somebody coming out of college, this is a great business or a great sector to start in. And that's the story we want to tell with that economic impact survey. We can tell you what it is in Las Vegas. We can tell you what it is across the globe. Mm-hmm. And this is a sector that you want coming to your particular business community.
Sure. Great. So where would you like AGM to be in the next few years? What kind of goals do you have you set for yourself?
I think AGM, I mean, we want to just continue on the course that we're on. We've got a great foundation and building that. I think what would be a good opportunity for AGM is when there will be a new emerging markets, whether that's domestic in the U.S. or possibly some other international markets. AGM can be there on behalf of the supplier sector to advocate on the supplier specific issues, whether that's technology standards, regulatory standards, because more different than operators, our technology companies and supplier companies, they operate everywhere. They're licensed in every jurisdiction around the globe because they supply customers of all shapes and sizes in the regulated gaming space. The supplier sector of anybody probably has a really good handle on what those issues are and some of the good and some of the best practices and how they can be improved. And we'd like to have, we'd like to see AGM have a seat at the table or be able to help as those new markets come to pass, when they pass their legislation, regulatory standards, or whatever else, and be a resource for those jurisdictions.
Okay, great. Well, Darren Dorsey, thanks for taking the time. I want to do this every year. I did it with Marcus every year. I want to continue that tradition. And, we're proud to be the official publication of AGM, North American publication. So thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us, and we'll do this next year.
Absolutely. And great for your partnership, Robert.
But don't you try to fight it.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, introducing the Diamond RS gaming machine, mixing iconic slots and evolved game variations designed to exceed expectations. Discover your next legend at IGT.com/DiamondRS. To learn more about AGM and the issues they face, visit GGBMagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. Everywhere.